Welcome to Investigative Post's Money in Politics. I'm Jeff Kelly, government and politics reporter with Investigative Post, and I'm talking with Ken Crooley, who researches and produces Money in Politics, a regular feature on our website. For his column, Ken dives into campaign finance filings to see who bankrolls elected officials. And on this podcast, we discuss why. Welcome, Ken.
Hi, Jeff, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. Ken, this week we're looking not at an elected official, or at least not just at one. Instead, we're looking at one prolific donor, Howard Zemsky. Zemsky is also a power player in state and local politics. He inherited the meatpacking business built by his father, expanded that business far beyond its origins, and in the last couple of decades, he has turned to real estate development. He and his wife, Leslie, are the driving forces behind the development of the much-beloved Larkinville in South Buffalo. Zemsky has become very tight with Governor Andrew Cuomo. Cuomo made him chair of the region's Economic Development Council and subsequently appointed him president and CEO of Empire State Development, which is a hugely influential job, steering economic development policy across the state. Zemsky left the post last year, though he's still on the board as chair emeritus. I didn't know they had a chair emeritus, but, you know, apparently they just can't let Zemsky go. You had a look at Zemsky's political giving, his contributions. What did you find?
Well, I looked for the last 5 years at what both Howard Zemsky and his wife Leslie have donated to political campaigns and found that over that time period, there was contributions of just under $240,000, a considerable amount of money. They donated to 32 different candidates. All of the candidates were Democrats. Of the amount donated, the biggest chunk went to state and local elected officials and candidates. Governor Cuomo, $35,000. Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, $21,000. County Executive Poloncarz, $20,000. Mayor Brown, $15,000 were among the larger donations. He also donated to the Erie County Democratic Committee, to Sean Ryan, to Mark Schroeder, to Crystal Peoples, Mayor Deister in Niagara Falls. He donated about $86,000 to federal candidates. The largest amount went in 4 years ago to Hillary Clinton, about $16,000. Congressman Higgins has received just under $16,000 from them. He also donated to a candidate on the Hudson River named Gareth Rhodes, who lost an election. He received almost $11,000. Congressman Joe Morrell from Rochester, $10,500. So they spread the money out. It was heavily on state and local candidates, people that they would deal with in their businesses. The federal contributions were fairly predictable, given their political leanings as far as Hillary Clinton, Brian Higgins, and so forth.
It's substantially less to the campaign of President-elect Joe Biden than to Hillary Clinton.
Right, yeah, just $5,000. Just $5,000.
Just $5,000.
This year.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like a lot of money if you say it fast.
Down near the bottom of the list.
So one thing that struck me is that the donations you've just enumerated there, they are out in the open. Those are donations made by Howard and Leslie Zemsky in their names. A lot of business people, especially real estate developers, like to use LLCs and other corporate entities to do their giving. That's not so much the case with the Zemskys. Companies that Howard Zemsky controls gave another $1,100 to Mayor Byron Brown and another $2,000 to Assemblymember Crystal Peoples Stokes. Not much in comparison to the total given in their name. Does that strike you as unusual?
Yeah, that is unusual for people in the real estate business who, as you mentioned, donate often through their LLCs. This is up front. It's right there with Howard Zemsky's name, Leslie Zemsky's name. You can find it in the state records. You can find it in the federal records.
Yeah. For example, Carl Palladino uses not just Ellicott Development.
Dozens of LLCs.
But dozens of LLCs in order to, I don't think that he's trying to hide that he's donating money, he's trying to get around.
Well, there's limits, and so when you use multiple avenues of donating, then you can make more than one donation.
Yeah. One other thing that struck me is that they seem to give to folks who are in office, the governor, obviously, Mayor Brown, and to those who are pretty likely to win the office they're seeking. He's not backing dark horses or insurgencies. He's not a political activist in that way.
Well, except in a couple instances, there was this fellow Gareth Rhodes that I mentioned, who was a candidate for Congress in the Hudson Valley in the 18th District. He lost. But they gave him over $10,000. I don't know what the connection is to Mr. Rhodes. Leslie Zemsky donated $4,000 to a woman who ran for Congress this year, Lindsay Boylan, who ran for Congress in New York 10 in June. The interesting thing about that one, well, besides the fact she lost, was that Lindsay Boylan has recently filed sexual harassment charges against Governor Cuomo, which the governor's office flatly denies. Ms. Boylan did previously work in the governor's office, so I'm assuming that that was the connection that brought them together. But it's kind of an interesting side note as to what's just happened.
One more thing about this practice of backing establishment politicians and elected officials already in office. It's a pretty conservative approach, right? It speaks to a wish to maintain influence, to cultivate it.
Yeah, and maintaining it with people who are already in office. People who can affect public policy, people who, and of course, in the case of the governor and lieutenant governor, Zemsky was part of that administration for several years. So there's a direct connection there. Locally, the two most important political polls locally are Mark Poloncarz and Byron Brown, and they rise to the top of the list also in terms of donations. So they're keeping it close. There's not a million candidates that are receiving this large amount of money. There's only 32, and they've picked the ones who do have a lot of influence over public policy.
And notably, the most influential members of the local state delegation to the legislature.
Right.
Over at your website, politicsandstuff.com, you published a column a couple of weeks ago about the money that Western New York companies have spent on lobbying in Albany. Tell me what you found.
Well, I concentrate on the local activity. The most recent records we have are from 2019. The Joint Commission on Public Integrity or Public Ethics publishes a report every year on lobbying activity. They published one at the end of July, and we won't see another one for 2020 until sometime mid 2021. So the information is a little bit dated, but the most recent that we have. 2020 results will be interesting because the state legislature sort of shut down in March, except for some perfunctory activities. And so maybe not as much lobbying, maybe more. Who knows? We'll see next year. But what I found for the most recent reports is that in Western New York, continues to be substantial activity from local businesses and government organizations. If you take a look at the local stuff, I come up with $5.4 million of lobbying spending in local businesses and governments. It's up about 6% over the previous year, so a lot of activity churning. As it's been the case for the last several years, and I've done this research for the last 5 years now, the firm of Masiello, Martucci, and Calabrese dominates. They received about $1.5 million from local clients, far ahead of the other 30 firms that have some piece of the pie, some a little bit more than others, but the Masiello firm certainly dominates. Of course, it's just been changed. Carl Calabrese has announced his retirement, so it's going to be Masiello Martucci, but I'm assuming that they will continue on with the activity that they've had, and it's been pretty substantial. If you go on my website, you can see a list of the firms that do the lobbying, and you can also see 111 institutions that have used lobbyists, how much they used, how much they spent in the most recent year. It runs the gamut from Albright Knox to the Buffalo Zoo to cities, towns, municipalities, NFTA.
Yeah, let me ask you a question about that. Why is it that municipal governments and government agencies hire lobbyists to lobby state government?
I think that's a very good question and a very important question because, first of all, they have direct access to members of the state legislature and the state administration. They don't have to cut through too many channels to get to where they need to go. The local delegation of legislators, if they stick together on things, can be very aggressive about pushing certain priorities through. And so why they do that, I don't know. Why does the city of Buffalo do that? Why does the city of Lackawanna do that?
Why does the city of Buffalo spend $50,000 on the firm of Masiello, Martucci, and Calabrese
right. When
they have a director of intergovernmental affairs?
Right. The county of Niagara, $60,000. County of Orleans, very small county, $61,000. Erie County Water Authority, $60,000. So there's a bunch of things like that on this list. If you look at those sort of government entities, entities. Out of that $5.4 million, I'm talking about $1.5 million of it is from public institutions. That's a lot of money. It also, the biggest chunk of it actually is the University of Buffalo, which spends almost $400,000. They have their own shop, basically, that does its own lobbying, but that means that more than one person is involved actively in pursuing state aid. These smaller ones we just mentioned, good question. And I guess the real question is, what are they getting out of it and why did they do it? If they can point to something specific, maybe it was of much greater value, and for some reason the state legislators locally couldn't deliver for them.
Well, let's put a placeholder in this conversation. When the J-COPE filings for 2020 come out, that might be the subject of another podcast.
Yeah, I think we'll do that.
Yeah. But speaking of other podcasts, what are you working on for your next column?
The next one, I'm taking a look at the 16 local state legislators who won election recently and seeing how much they spent. I took a look at the number of votes that they got, and I'm doing some number crunching on how much per vote and how their election results turned out, how big their margin of victory were, and so forth. But there's a lot of money being spent by incumbents in a case where many incumbents really aren't threatened very hard in running for re-elections.
It'll be interesting, too, given that this was a very strange year for everything, but for politics as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you couldn't do the normal stuff. You couldn't do door-to-door very much or at all. Fundraisers were out of the question. You had to do Zoom stuff. But they spent a lot of money. They did a lot of money on mailings. Some of the local assembly candidates spent a ton of money on TV. Also looking at, in this review, the money that came from Albany to help them. And in some cases, the money that was sent from local candidates to Albany to redisperse to other people, because there's a lot of back and forth going on like that.
Sure. Well, I'm looking forward to that. Well, thank you very much, Ken.
Thank you, Jeff.
That's Money in Politics for this week. And you can follow Ken Crooley's work at politicsandstuff.com. And, of course, keep coming back to investigativepost.org for our deep coverage of issues of importance to Western New York.